When she came to the front, she said, "What do you want?" I said, "Could I have your name, your address, please, and your telephone number?" Out loud, where everybody could hear it. She said, "What do you want it for?" I said, "Because you are going to organize the next conference." And she went from up front. I never did see her again. They tell me that her people in Ohio ripped her up good for making a statement like that. I remember somebody either told me that we did have a meeting in Ohio later that year. And she came to the meeting and looked through the room and saw me and left. So if she walked in here today, I wouldn't know who she was. But after we were through with the reports turned in to the staff, our next trip was the Cannon Building on Capitol Hill, where your representatives be. And that's where we had a selection of people to go. And there wasn't too many of us went over there, but the press followed us over there, because it was a new thing for the press. It followed us over there, and we made some statements. The New York people were ready to go. They had a certain time that the bus had to leave, and Sebula had to get back. I remember taking the whole program for the weekend to Congressman Hawkins' office. I walked to the Capitol under that underground tunnel and looking for him. Then I finally ended up in his office, which was in the Raybon Building. And the next day, the Federal Register came out with the whole program in the Federal Register. It snowed that night. Oh, I know another person was there from Boston named Doris Bland. She passed away. She was at that meeting. I never saw her again after the February meeting in Washington, D.C. But it snowed after we left Capitol Hill. Matter of fact, it started snowing just before the bus left in New York. And she stayed over because she wrote up the stuff for George, she and Edith. And Edith was the girl I told you, she was really born in Germany. Mm-hmm. She'd spent some time in my hotel room, and then we all went over where George was that night and had some steak dinners and stuff and talked about what we call our victory, where we thought we were, and how what we thought we had accomplished. With all of these 300 people here that we didn't expect, mm-hmm. we thought we really had accomplished something. People came to find out what we were doing. Some people come to see what it was. Could they get involved? And with names and phone numbers and addresses and, you know, things like that was left behind. So we considered a great accomplishment from where we got started. One thing was there at that meeting was we decided when we would meet again and have a convention. The convention was set for August of that year, which was a few months later. This was February 1967. The convention was held in August of 1967 in Washington, D.C.
Now, were the 19 of you was the NCC formed, or were you just the chair?
I was elected from the NCC, those representative people, as a temporary chairperson for that particular meeting.
I see.
February of 67. In August of 67, I was elected the chairman.
Okay. Now, but before we get to there, in this time then between when you go in April 66 to the Shriver meeting and then to Chicago for the first meeting in August, say between the meeting in August and the meeting in February.
Mm-hmm.
Were you still spending most of your time with the ANC?
I spent my time with ANC mothers because I was at home.
Okay.
Plus, we were putting together our California Welfare Rights Organization.
Okay. You'd already decided to do that?
We decided to do that. That was already decided before we even went to Washington.
Okay.
Before I even went to Washington.
Where was that decided?
That was decided in Fresno.
Oh, what's that?
And I was I was elected president of the California Welfare Rights Organization. Must have been December 66.
Okay, so
before the national, we had a statewide.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you feel about the statewide one? Who organized?
The statewide organization came out of Federation of the Poor for the state of California.
Okay.
Where we had a lot of people organized around the poverty programs in the state of California. And with the Alameda County Welfare Rights, that was not organized by welfare recipients, but in support of welfare recipients in their plight. And ANC mothers and Tim them had began to organize other little people in Venice and down South Central Avenue and what have you. All those people came together.
How many were there?
And there were a lot of groups statewide, but not welfare recipient groups. The Federation was made up out of a whole lot of groups from across the state. Within that Federation of Poor, we developed with the Alameda County Welfare Rights, Catherine Hines with ANC Mothers, was me, and Catherine Germany, and a young man named Willie Thompson. He and his wife both were very heavily involved in community organizations out of the Bay Area. And of course, Tim was heavy over into this also.
Mm-hmm.
And because, Tim's father worked for the State Department of Social Welfare for years, So we had a lot of information that Jerry fed our person, Tim being a social worker and everything. I remember we pulling within the Federation, they decided to have this special unit. And special unit of welfare recipients. We had the people there. There was a group in California called Some for the Total Disabled. What is that? No, that's not the name of it. It's a group of people, and the person that headed that up was a blind man named Muzzy, and then there was another one named Doctor, somebody who worked for the State Department of Social Services, but they also had the problem with the disabled, and so we were all kind of grouped together. They wrote some good legislation for us, and because they are lobbying, and they told us a lot about lobbying around the state, around the legislators and what have you. But anyway, I think our group must have been organized. It had to be. I remember it was cold when we went to Fresno.
Were there farm workers there?
No.
So the UFW didn't get involved?
No.
That's interesting.
We had Julia from up in the San Francisco area. Oh, there was quite a few people there. But I remember the same Lovett T. Lewis that I told you from down here was on the credentials committee, what you call it, election committee. And this Julia, I forget Julia's name, but she was white. She was from Monterey. I remember her. And I remember Julia coming and telling me I had on, I used to sew quite a bit for myself, and I had a trench coat on over my suit that I was sitting in the church. And I remember Julia said, come to me and said, take your coat off. So you'll look good when we call your name. And I said, what? She said, take your coat off. So I took my coat off. I had on a red suit with trimmed in black lace that I had made. So I said, take my coat off. It wasn't really that warm, but it was getting warm. It was in the church. It was in the morning. Lovie T. Lewis had chaired the, what you call it, nominating committee. And I don't know what they done because I was in the bed. But that's what she said to me, take your coat off so you learn look good when they call your name. And I couldn't figure out, what are you going to call my name for? So I took the coat off. They got up there and they start nominating folk. And they nominated a treasurer, a secretary, and a vice president, and a president. And they all voted on all of this stuff that they put out there. Nobody contested it whatsoever. And I end up being president of this California Welfare Rights Organization. Just like that. I didn't know what they done. That was, they didn't ask me if I wanted to be it. They just made that decision while I was sleeping.
So what did you think?
Well, I think about that. I always tried to do the best that I could and didn't promise no nothing because I'm no genius, you know. But I done the best that I could. And I think that that's how I really got hooked into the national championship, I think.
From the
organizing the ANC muggles. That kind of thing, that's how I got hooked into that.
I understand, Johnny. So out of the Federation of the Poor,
mm-hmm.
The California Welfare Rights Organization was going to be a sort of subgroup of the Federation?
No.
It was its own.
It became its own thing.
But all this happened at the meeting of the Federation of the Poor?
Yeah, we had several meetings up and down the state of Federation of the Poor. But it was just decided maybe we would take this out of the Federation of the Poor. The Federation of the Poor finally died down anyway, but welfare rights kept going.
Now by then, so this was December 66.
It had to be November, December. It was cold, I know.
And was the East L.A. welfare rights?
East L.A. group was not a farm. I farmed East L.A. group myself.
Okay. With Alicia.
With Alicia Escalante.
No.
I went there. There was a doctor who was white who worked up there. And he worked with the people up there. He invited me up there. I went up there and told them about the organization, what it was we was trying to do. But this was 1968.
Oh.
Early 68.
Mm-hmm. So after you decided to form the California organization. Were there any organizers involved? Was Tim involved in that one?
Tim was involved. Tim's always been there as far as California's concerned. But we didn't really. And to us here, Tim was more or less a consultant.
Oh, I see.
Tim didn't really get out and knock on no doors and all that kind of stuff. Oh, no.
And was this view?
Well, we wasn't going to let him.
Well, was there a dispute over it?
Oh, what?
Over the role that he would play, for instance, in the organization?
No, if it's something that I didn't agree with, I just tell him, no, hell no, we're not going to do it like that. Or you find another way to do it. And that was about it. Tim, I don't remember Tim ever arguing with me about anything.
Now, how was this funded at this point?
What?
Like, even to have the meeting to form the organization.
There was, for California, well, different, like I said, the poverty program was involved, so they sponsored their own people, but I remember The second time, the first time I went to Chicago, they paid my way. When I went to Pittsburgh, my way was paid. I never paid my way myself. There was a group here called Tim had some, now he can raise money. A group of Catholic people. What was the name of them sisters? One of them named Sister Rosemary. It was the first Catholic nuns I ever seen that didn't wear them long black habits. They wore short dresses like this. It's great. They gave some money to the California Welfare Rights Organization. I don't know, about $4,000, right, something like that. But at that time, airfare wasn't as much as it is now to go different places. So they had given some money. I think they gave about $9,000, something like that, because we split it between the Northern California activity and the Southern California activity. So that's where we got money there. Tim went somewhere. He funded his own way or raised his own money. But, you know, that was one thing about those guys. They could raise their own money. They didn't, if the group had treasurers, they didn't come out of the treasurers for them to go places. They were able to raise their own money. And in a lot of instances, I raised some myself for me to get from A to C.
Mm-hmm. Now, but it sounds like the California organization was a mixed recipients, poverty program workers, some of the social workers even?
All organizations are like that, all across the country. Mm-hmm. Most of those organizations came out of the poverty program, was a maximum feasible participation of the poor. That's where most of those organizations came from.
So it was a lot of CETA workers then?
CETA wasn't existing then. CETA came later. So you had just, but we had something here called Neighborhood Adult Participation Project. The lady that put that together was named Oprah Jones. That was Tim's first boss when he came out of school. Catherine had worked for them. Well, she was a hell of a typist, you know. She worked for them, but she and her family had been on welfare. And she still was getting a partial check because she wasn't making but $300-some out of the poverty program, you know. And she still had to get some money. They had what you call a working mother's budget, 33 and a third, you know, those kinds of things. I refused jobs from the poverty program. They were going to pay me $333 a month. I was already getting $330 a month, so it didn't make much sense to me at that time. Because that ain't what I wanted, the kind of work that they were wanting me to do. I wasn't ready to do that at that time.
What was that?
Community work, but I wouldn't have had freedom to go where I wanted to go and do what I wanted to do. It was a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is what I wanted to do right then. And the welfare department didn't put no pressure on me to take no job. And so, and I couldn't go back to the laundry where I would have rather been. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't go back there. So I just hung with welfare till I decided I wanted to do something else.
What did you say you couldn't go back to the laundry?
I wasn't able, physically able to go back to work, to the laundry.
Okay, so by the time the meeting occurred in February, you'd already formed the California organization.
Oh, yeah, California organization is older than the national organization.
Okay. Now, what, coming out of that February meeting, so you were just a temporary chair.
I was a temporary chair. They were elected, I was elected by those 18 of the women.
And what was the plan coming out of that February meeting then?
The plan was another convention in August where we'd have permanent election of officers. That people would be organizing whatever the issues was within their own communities, their own state around their welfare program, such as the Massachusetts people organized around furniture campaigns. They launched furniture campaigns. I remember a girl, a lady named Hazel Leslie from Philadelphia, who came to, I don't remember what meeting Hazel came to, but their concern was some children not being able to go to school because they didn't have shoes, and the welfare people wouldn't give extra money for shoes, so they decided one day to sell blood to the blood bank to get shoes, and that sure did upset the power structure and the press conference that his mother's selling blood to the blood bank to be able to buy some shoes for kids to go to school. So that was embarrassing, you know, to the welfare department. So things like that, those were issues. Yeah. What we call bread and butter issues. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of issues that things were built around. I don't forget, I don't remember what the New York people were about, but they had issues also. So each person had his own issues. And the main attitude was respect, main attitudes and that kind of stuff. But everybody had their own issues.
Did other people share your view two things that you emphasized, that training so that people could get good jobs and child care. Did other people in this early period share that view?
For those who wanted it and were able to work, we shared that. There were some folk wanted, they didn't have child care anywhere. They don't have plenty of child care now.
I know. Mm-hmm. But the notion of how important that was.
That was important to most people, especially the young women who had children who had basic education or wanted to further their education. And a lot of that was happening. And everybody wasn't just ready to sit down and not do anything. And then a lot of women knew that eventually when a child gets a certain age, he comes off welfare anyway. And so people wanted to establish themselves and be able to deal with themselves once that occurred. You know, some could, some can't. Mm-hmm. And we still have that today.
I'll tell you that, you know, I told you before I was doing this work in Palestine. And these grassroots groups, the first thing the women in the villages want is child care. And the group set up. There's better child care centers there.
I imagine it is. Than it is here?
Under occupation. Setting it up themselves. And there is here.
I wouldn't doubt that. I went to a conference once the papers finally got burned up. I kept those papers for a long time at this conference. George and I went in 67 out in Maryland. Dr. Burns, you ever heard of her? Edith Burns, social worker, wrote many pamphlets on social work, taught social work. Had a conference with people all from all over. And it talked about aiding people with children. And the only country that had did that was France. Mm-hmm. But France did it hoping for people would have more children.
Right.
And it failed. To find out people don't have children for money. You know? And they talked about that conference here, having, putting some more money, giving money to anybody. So, of course, the big question was, would Ethel Kennedy get extra money? Because she was having babies all kinds of time there. Would she get extra money for having babies? And, I remember George dying to get involved and says, well, who would get the money?
Well, adios there, Mrs. Fast. Nice seeing you.
All right, baby. That's all right. And with George saying, who would get the money? The question was, would they give the money to the woman? Or would it be to the family? Or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So George said, now, you don't give my wife some money to have a baby, and I don't have nothing to say about it. So he just wanted to break up the meeting. George knowing to want to cause some confusion. And they had a young man there from England. His name was Tony Lyons. I never forget him, L-Y-O-N-S. He was from something they called Child's Poverty Action Center, Poverty Rights Action Center. And he had a paper. I had that paper here, and when my office burned, your whole ass and burned all that. I had kept it just that long. Some very interesting things came out of it. But my contention is that people in America just don't have babies to get some money. I can't believe that. I had to talk about that somewhere I was. Oh, we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago that you don't have no babies getting money because you're talking about in California, you're talking about $6. You know, you're talking about $6. Please close that door. Who in the world is going to have a baby? You carry it for 9 months. Sometime you sick. You don't know if you're going to live through it or not. You got to go through all of the stuff and birthing the child and then be bothered with it for the rest of its life and your life for $6. Somebody got to be crazy. And if anybody think like that, I think they should go get some help. So that's ridiculous. So.
I'm just looking here. The tape's almost out. I think probably.